And then the Lord started giving me all kinds of thoughts. So if you take your Bible and turn to Psalms 43. Psalms 43. How about hope? That's a good subject. I reckon that'll work. Hope. Anybody here use a good dose of hope? Okay. Well, we're going to shovel some out. I hope I'm in the right passage. Let's take a peek here. Psalms 43. All right. Well, we don't need these. We don't need this stuff. Psalms 43. I hope you've had a good week. Anybody mow the lawn this week? Did you really? Mine's going to need mowed. Well, I reckon if you're at Psalms 43, you're real close to Psalms 42 as well. So we're going to look at both of those. If you're able to stand, we will read three verses. Three verses. I don't know if I can keep this going for a half hour, but here we go. Verse 45, David says, why art thou, or verse 4, chapter 42, verse 5, that's what I'm getting at. Boy, I got you all confused. This is Indiana. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11. Psalms 42, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Father, may you bless the message, minister to our hearts. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for hope. We ask that the Holy Spirit would speak to us. I pray that you'd lead and guide, direct everything I think and say. I pray this time would be profitable for all of us in a Bible study sense and certainly in a spiritual sense, an emotional sense. May it meet needs. We praise you. May it bring glory to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it appears the psalmist is struggling a little bit. Often when we read the Psalms, we're reading the emotional state, the spiritual status of the individual who has written it. And in Psalms 42 and 43, some believe that it's actually one psalm. I'm not going to debate that. We do see a similar scripture or phrase in chapter 43 that we read in chapter 42. But three times we read that the psalmist is cast down, his countenance, and usually your face is affected by your heart. How many of you know that? Yeah, your heart can affect your face. Sometimes we got to fix our face in spite of how our heart feels. We need to fix it. But David is struggling here. And as he is writing and as he is looking to God, he is mindful that he wants help. He knows his need, and it's something that naturally he's not able to make the proper adjustment, but he's going to the right place. And he makes this statement three times, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So hopefully this isn't something real important. Did I need that? Can you still hear me? I didn't throw anybody off. Okay. I was hoping for a little more slack. I need a long cord. Yeah, this will work. So, can I, Nathan, borrow you for a minute? I read something last week that I found fascinating, the Hebrew word hope is also used in Hebrew as the word rope. That doesn't mean anything to you maybe at first, but if you'll grab that, and if we pretend that, okay, God says, well, we read in the psalmist says, hope thou in God. Well, hope's something you can grab onto. And the good news is God's at the other end. You might not be able to see him, feel him, smell him, but he's there. We're going to look at this. I hope, okay, you can release. Don't let go of your hope, though, but you can let go of this. That's all I need you for, just to grab that. Is that the right one? Okay. Is there a blinky light back there that lets you know that was right? All right. Okay, so because of the fact that we mortals have to endure hardships in our pilgrimage to glory, and there are many things that are out of our control, many situations and circumstances that we just, they're out of our control, and yet they still affect us emotionally. They affect us spiritually. And if we don't watch it, it's easy to give up. A person without hope, honestly, is without God, because the reality is, if you believe in God, then you have hope. Hope is available. We're going to do a little Bible study here. If you'll take your Bible and turn to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. While you're turning there, though, let me just remind you how the psalmist dealt with his struggle. So he's got this heavy heart, and he cries out, why art thou cast? He's talking to himself. Now, that's important. I know that some people are considered weird or loony, talking to themselves. But wait, he's got biblical grounds. I find God talking to himself from the very get-go. And God said, let us. God spoke to himself. No, there's a right way to talk to yourself. Nehemiah talked to himself as well. And the psalmist is talking to himself. And let me just pause here. If you want to have hope, you got to know how to talk to yourself. If you're going to talk right, you got to think right. You realize your emotions and your thought process, you can know what's right and not feel like doing what's right. You all are aware of that. but as long as you know what's right, you can of your own choice, of your own volition, choose the right thought process. God is good, regardless of how you're feeling. Job would say, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. That is a truth. That's a fact. That's out of his hands. Did it hurt his heart? Well, absolutely hurt his heart. Did it make the tears stream down his face? Absolutely made the tears stream down his face. Did it put a cloud over his head in a sense? Well, I'm sure it did. But he concluded and said, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, there's a man that got his thinking right. And as a result, he was able to say the right words. Back here with David in Psalms 42 and 43, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? He's questioning himself. Hope thou in God, who is the health of my countenance. Hope thou, believe, hold on. Grab the rope that's available. He's got the other end. He's not going to let loose of it. Hope thou in God. This passage here in Job has always stood out to me. In verse 7, Job 14. You know what? I want to read verse 1 all the way down because it's worth reading. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Isn't that uplifting? I'm telling you, you talk about the power of positive speaking there. And of course, you got to understand Job's condition. Verse 2, he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one, seeing his days are determined. The number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as an hireling his day. Here it is. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. I'll just pause. I want to consider something here. Job needs some hope, and he's reflecting on an old tree that had been cut down. But that old tree that had been cut down was near some water. And what happened was, after they cut it down, it started budding again. Out of that trunk came a sprout, and it started to grow and grow. Man, after a few years, that tree was coming back again. Everybody else thought it was dead. Now, I can think of, we had a weeping willow in the back of our yard that was growing up in the telephone line. Actually, the electrical line, whatever that is. We don't have telephone lines anymore, do we? Maybe. But I remember we had to cut that thing down 2 or 3 times. But it was located at the low part in our backyard. And during the rainy season, we've got beachfront property. And right now, you come over to our house, you could lay a flat bottom boat there and just float around. I guarantee you can do that. I saw it. No fish there. But lots of water accumulates down there. We'd cut that willow tree down at least 3 times in the 21 years we'd been there. Say, why'd you have to do it that many times? Because it just kept growing back. Finally had to dig out the root system. But I liked the willow tree, but it had an unfortunate problem of being located right in a place that wasn't supposed to be located. But I like this idea, there's hope of a tree, even if it's cut down, that it will sprout again. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud. Think about this. There are things that give us hope. When I see somebody who has gone through a great crisis, a great trial, and I see them still serving the Lord, still praising the Lord, I smell water. They made it. I think I can too. When I see somebody who's lost a child, and somehow, some way, they're able to carry that burden, God gives them the grace and God gives them the ability to not get bitter, but get better. And they continue to sing praises to the Lord. They stay faithful to church, and they actually stay involved. When I see them, I smell water. When I see a dear lady lose her husband or a dear man lose his wife, and I see them faithful in church, oh, their heart's heavy. I know their heart's heavy. But they still walk with God. They're still not ashamed of Christ. They haven't let themselves get bitter and angry and ornery and rotten about it. But man, they're still blossoming. Christ is evident in their life. They're not ashamed of their Lord. When I get around them, I got to tell you, I smell water, the scent of water. Anytime I see anybody that's gone through a great sorrow, they've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and somehow, some way, they're able to keep going forward, it reveals to me that, hey, the shepherd does walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death. And that, you know what that does for me? It gives me hope. It gives me hope. And anytime you're going through that, all you got to do, take time, look at the scriptures. There's plenty of scriptural examples of men and women who have gone through deep valleys, who have endured and they've made it. Smell the water. Look around at other people who've gone through trials. Look at Joni Erickson, quadriplegic as a teenager. And yet to God be the glory, all the people she's led to Christ and all the people she's helped. People see her and they smell water. So, we lift up the Word of God, we browse it and meditate on it and read it, and we say to ourselves, there's hope in this book. There's hope. Turn over to Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to have a tough time making this till 8 o'clock. We won't make it if you hope we won't make it. Romans chapter 5. Now, if you got to Romans, there are some good verses in Romans, but I actually need to look at Romans 4. Romans 4 is where I want to look at. I want to begin at verse, where's his name at? There we go. We'll begin at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now Abraham's the guy I want to talk about here. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's an interesting statement. Who against hope, believed in hope. I'm not going to come across like some deep theologian to you right now, but as I read that just on the surface level, I read it like this. When everybody else seemed it impossible, he still hoped. When the people around him said, you might as well give up. Train Ishmael to be your heir. Take care of Ishmael. He still hoped. He still hoped. When the world says to you, throw in the towel, why are you going to church? What do you keep reading your Bible? What are you praising the Lord for? Hope. Hope against hope. You know, as believers, we got to do that a lot. You know what? We're in a culture that's not conducive to hoping in God, at least our God, the God of the Bible. I realize the culture has their own God, and they like to use some of our names. But the reality is they're not using the God of our Bible, because they're way off track in a lot of things. And so just to stand for the Lord and to keep the right attitude, you got to hope against hope. Over in chapter 5, we read a passage here that's a blessing. Look at verse 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience, there it is again, hope. God says, I'm going to give you a little hope to make it down the road. And then when you get there, I'm going to give you a little bit more hope to make it down the road. And when you get there, I'm going to keep giving you a little more rope. Hello? I'm going to give you a little more rope. You take the hope I'm giving you. You hold on to it, and I'm going to pull you down here. And then you take some more. And then you take some more. And one day, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Because our hope will have turned to sight. Our hope will be fulfilled. Well, I'm moving quick, but I didn't write any of this down. So, 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I got an idea. I do have an idea. I think it'll be a blessing to us. I believe if we finish this sermon early, we could have a little extra prayer time. We could squeeze the hope rope together. Just kind of pull on it till the bell rings. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at this, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Every adult and every child that's been buried, that's passed on from us, will rise again. Can you imagine? We're going to see them in the flesh. We're going to talk to them. They're going to talk to us in the flesh. We're all going to be 33 years old. I don't know how old we're going to be. That would be unusual, but I read verse 14 again. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. You know, God cannot lie. That's why we have hope. He cannot lie. His word's already proven itself. Jesus came so accurately the first time. Why could we not believe that he's going to come that accurately the second time? Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. We got a plaque full of members on the back there that have already gone on to glory. On this side of eternity, we hope, we believe, we hold on to the rope of hope and know that one day I'm going to see them. They're fine. They're happy. Believe it or not, they're content. They don't have to deal with the sorrow. They don't have to deal with the emotional drama that we have to deal with. They don't have to deal with the spiritual warfare. They're on the win. By the way, we're on the winning side, but their faith has become sight. Yet we on this side, we've got hope. Hope at our disposal. When our face is being affected by our heart and by our emotions, hope thou in God. When the people around us are negative and critical, hope thou in God. When we can't see the end of the road, grab the rope. When we can't see daylight, grab the rope. And right here, if you're holding on to this book, and if you're believing these promises, friend, you got the right rope. You got the right rope. Well, that's my message. I'm sticking with it. We're going to pray, and here's what I'd like to do. If you wouldn't mind, I want us to have a special word of prayer for the Fields family and the Allen family. And so you're welcome to use the altar, but what I'll do, we're just going to take time to pray. I will close us in prayer at 8:05. Can you all pray that long? It's about 11 minutes. Let's go ahead and pray.